Thank you for coming back and being with us tonight. Thank you for being here. John chapter number 14. Wouldn't you guys mind plugging that fan back in for me over there? Ben said he's going to get me a fan here in the pulpit, so blow in my face. He said, told me I look like a stop sign when I get done preaching. Just because I'm too fat, that's the problem. John, thanks a lot. John chapter 14. Work in progress. That's not comforting. That's not comforting. That don't make me feel better. John chapter 14. A little bit different type of message tonight. You may not like it. But, John chapter 14, verse number 1. See what happens. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receiving to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know that whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Ryan, would you open us up in prayer tonight? And pray for me. In our nation today, it's looked down on for being a Christian. It's not praised. We're called racist or bigots or rude and old-fashioned for standing on biblical principles that we've been taught our entire lives. Some say it's out with the old and in with the new. A new church, a new doctrine, maybe a new Bible, a new book if you want to call it a Bible. I don't care how old the principles and doctrines we believe are. I don't care how long they've been in practice. I don't care how old the Bible may be. It's still right and it's still true and it's still the truth. And it's still worth following. Something wrong 400 years ago is still wrong today. Right and wrong don't change. That doesn't change with the times. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And always will be. Those things do not change. I've heard older preachers talk about how they never thought they had to take the stands they had to take today. I had some older men of God on my ordination committee that warned me and told me about the repercussions I have to face for taking the stands we take. And how things have changed and how they're having to take stands now and facing those repercussions that they never had to face before. This world's changing, and not in a good way. It's not popular to be a Christian anymore. Used to, if somebody didn't agree with something, they just wouldn't agree with you. Yep. Nowadays, if they don't agree with you, then you're wrong, and you need to change. They're offended. It becomes an argument. Some of them getting the law involved, trying different things, trying to put others down because they believe something different. That's what it is now. If you don't believe what I believe, then you're wrong, you need to change. And that's the popular belief now. What is wrong with our government today? That's a big problem today. Neither side can agree on anything. I'm a Republican, always have been, but I don't like them either right now. They can't agree on anything. What happened to old-fashioned standards and convictions? What happened to men with a backbone who were willing to preach whatever God told them to preach, whether it was popular or not, whether it padded their wallet or not, they preached what they're supposed to preach. What happened to that? Men in our Baptist history took a stand and stood and preached the gospel despite the fact they were literally laying their life on the line for it. You can read about Obadiah Holmes, the one I like to read about. You may have heard about him before. Yeah. Obadiah Holmes moved to New England with his family from the country of England. Moved there, he got saved as a Baptist. Obadiah Holmes, he became a Baptist preacher, ended up settling in Rhode Island to get away from the persecution. Rhode Island is one of the few places you could go and be free to be a Baptist. He went there. He came across the lines with one of his friends, John Clark, and another man there, I can't remember his name, went across the colony lines, went back to New England to visit a sick man in his home. They went over there to visit him, had a Baptist meeting there in the home, preaching. Baptist preachers were preaching there in the man's home, a private home. Puritan leaders came in, broke up the meeting. Two of the Puritans came in, broke up the meeting, arrested the three preachers, threw them in jail. They set the bail, a couple of them there set the bail for all three of them, sent 10 pounds for one, 20 for other, and 30 for Obadiah Holmes. They had some friends that offered to pay their bail. John Clark and the other man took the bail. Obadiah Holmes refused. He said, to take the bail, admit I was wrong, admit that I was guilty. He said, I'm guilty of nothing but serving the Lord and preaching his gospel. He didn't take the bail. They sentenced him to 30 lashes with a whip. Baptist preacher sentenced to 30 lashes in our country, New England. September 5th, 1651, in Boston, Massachusetts, Obadiah Holmes was tied to the whipping post in America and whipped 30 times with a whip just for the fact that he was preaching the gospel. While he was there tied to the whipping post, he was preaching while they were whipping him. Preaching to the crowd, they gathered around preaching the gospel to him. The Baptist doctrine, preaching the gospel to those people, gathered around seeing him being whipped. In our country, they got down whipping him. He was bloody, bloody pulp, couldn't stand up. He wasn't tied, he would have fell down. He said, you have struck me as with roses. Told the magistrates that. A Baptist preacher in our country took a stand like that, took a stand, preached the gospel no matter what. They said it took him weeks to regain his strength to be able to go back to Rhode Island. Said he couldn't stand, couldn't sit, couldn't lay down. Said he'd get on his hands and knees, his elbows and his knees to be able to eat his food. He couldn't move because he took a stand for what he believed. What happened to men of God is willing to take a stand. What happened to convictions? What happened to faithfulness? Where did it go? What happened? We ought to remember where we came from. We're Baptists for a reason. It wasn't an accident. We're here for a reason. Because some men somewhere took a stand. And I thank God for those men who want to take a stand. When he's the men today, they're willing to stand up for what's right. So the Lord's helping preach a few minutes on getting back to the basics. I think we've forgotten where we came from a lot of times. Forgotten what the Bible says. Like, it changed things a lot. If we're not careful, listen to the news outlets and think some things used to be right are now wrong. I'm telling you tonight, they're not. What's wrong is still wrong. What's right is still right. That's what I'm going to preach on in just 3 minutes. Just a few different examples. There's always someone trying to justify their sin and explain how God didn't actually mean what he said and how it's different nowadays. That's old-fashioned. Doesn't mean that anymore. I'm going to give you a few examples of that tonight. We need to quit complicating things and just get back to what God told us in his word. Get back to what he said in the first place and get back to the basics. So what are some of those things the Lord told us? Number one, sin is still a sin. Sodomy is still a sin. Leviticus 20, verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind, he's alive with a woman. Both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Yes, that's Old Testament, but it's still right. It's been danced around by a lot of people. Nobody wants to offend anybody anymore. I believe someone is still sinning. You're living, and you are living for God. They should be offended. If somebody's sinning, they get around you, they ought to be offended by the way you're living. They ought to be offended if you tell them what's right, if they're doing wrong. They should at least know that you aren't supporting their sin. A lot of times now we talk about love and how we should love people. We should be Christians, should love the world. We should love the people in the world. We should not love the things of the world and should not accept their sin. There's a big difference between loving somebody and promoting, giving them permission to do their sin, carry on their sin. Sodomy is still a sin. It's still be judged accordingly. Sodomy is still a sin. Abortion is still a sin. Exodus 20, verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. People say abortion is a sin because you're not actually killing because it's not a real baby. Jeremiah 1, verse number 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Psalms 139, verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God doesn't ordain or possess someone that is not a human. He possesses or ordains a human. A baby is a baby at time of conception. When life of that baby is taken, it's still murder. It was that way from the get-go. It's still that way nowadays. It doesn't change. Just as much murder as it would be for you to kill an adult, it's still murder, it's still sin. You can cover it up and change the name all you want to. Sin is still a sin. I don't care if it's legal or not. I don't care if they say it makes their lives easier or not. God said it was a sin. The Bible says it's a sin, it's still a sin. It was a sin when Pharaoh did it. We don't justify what Pharaoh did, throwing the babies into the river. It was a sin when Herod did it. He said kill all the babies two and under. We look at him and say that was a bad thing. It's still a sin today. Doesn't matter who's doing it. It's a sin. Lying is still a sin. Pretty simple. We try to get away with that now. Exodus 20, verse number 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You see it everywhere we go. People call it that's just a little white lie, a little white fib. A lie is still a lie, and a lie is still a sin. No matter if it's politics or in the job place, no matter if it makes you look better or not, a lie is still a sin. What happened to honesty? It's all about greed nowadays. Seeing what I can get out of somebody else, seeing what I can take away from somebody else and get the better out of somebody else. What happened to living right and doing right and being honest? Honesty is still right, and lying is still a sin. Sodomy is still a sin. Abortion is still a sin. Lying is still a sin. We know that. Drinking is still a sin. Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations. Luke chapter 1, verse number 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Talking about John the Baptist, they're amazing. He mentions that before the baby's even born, he would not drink wine nor strong drink. Took a stand. John the Baptist is who he's talking about there. A lot of people say, well, that's only New Testament. That's not for us today. He's in the New Testament as well. It's not just a social drink, it's still a sin. A little drink here and there is still a sin. It doesn't matter who you're around or how it makes you look, or if it makes you popular or not, it's still a sin, it's still wrong. It's still that deadly poison. It's still a deadly poison Satan using to get people down, get the best people, God's best people, get them out of the work of God. It'll kill you, it'll destroy you. I saw some just the other day talking about a priest driving drunk. It wasn't the fact that the priest was drinking that was the problem, it's the fact that he was driving while he was drinking. It should be a problem he's drinking in the first place. You get put the emphasis in the wrong place. He ought never have the chance to be drunk driving in the first place. What a disgrace. Alcohol is still a sin. It's out of the pits of hell. It's a poison. And Satan will use it. He's using it all over this island here. It's a terrible sin. It's still a sin. It's not okay nowadays because some people are doing it. It's still a sin. Living wickedly is still a sin. Luke chapter 15, verse number 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. God said he wasted his substance with riotous living. Just threw it away. Wasted his life with wicked living. Romans 3, verse number 16. Sin, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I've read that verse here before. God says, since you're not on fire, you make me sick. There's a lot of people try to hang on the fence of right and wrong. There is no fence. Hang on, it's too thin. You're going to fall off one side or the other. Either you're right or wrong. You're living for God or you're not. Elijah said over Second Kings, one of those. How long halt you between two opinions? The Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Even living for God or you're not. There are a lot of people nowadays who are only Christians on Sundays. Don't let the world rest of the week. It's not going to work. Living for God, I preached that before a couple of times. Living for God is a daily decision you have to make. Wake up, crucify your flesh, and live for God. It's a daily act. It's not just for Sunday mornings. It's a daily thing. Living wickedly is still a sin. Promiscuity is still a sin. Living wickedly is still wrong. You can't get away with it. Why am I preaching all this? We all know this is wrong. We wouldn't do those things. We don't do any of that. Why would I preach this? Preach this because I think we have heard enough about how we should not offend somebody and pacify them and say their sin is okay. I think we've heard enough about that. You ought to hear how sin is still a sin and wrong is still wrong. It's okay to still call sin a sin. It's okay to do that. It might not be popular. There's a big difference between being polite and just allowing sin to happen. You don't have to be a rude. You don't have to be a jerk to somebody to be right. But you don't have to give them permission and condone their sins. Christians today are forced to just bow down and allow people to sin so that people aren't offended. I think it's about time we stand up for what's right again. I think it's about time we took a stand for what the Scripture has to say. Amen. It's not wrong to be right. You ought not have to hang your head in embarrassment for taking a stand for God. I remember a job I used to have. I was one of the only two people there that actually went to church, and the other guy was in a not very good church anyway. There's only two of us. We were the weird ones that didn't cuss, the weird ones that didn't listen, didn't go out and party, and didn't go out and get drunk. We were the weird ones. And we were supposed to hang our heads down in shame because we were the ones that stood out in the crowd. It ought not be that way. You shouldn't have to hang your head for doing right. Wrong is still wrong, whether it's popular or not. Church sin is still a sin. Whether it makes everybody else feel good or not. The Bible says it's wrong. Whether that's old-fashioned or not, I don't care. It's still wrong. Sin is still a sin. Number two, the Bible is still God's Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There are all kinds of new versions out there. God's Word is still God's Word. The Bible has been copied and changed so many times. So many versions aren't anything like what they used to be. People make it say what they want it to say. So they won't be offended. God's Word is still right, and the Bible is still God's Word. And the King James Bible is still the only one. Amen. King James Bible is still the inspired Word of God for English-speaking people. It's the only Bible for us. The rest of them have been messed with, words have been changed, things have been taken out, left out, they're still wrong. I'm not going to do it now, but you can go back and study about the different versions and how they were translated. We'll do a little bit of it. Did you know the King James Bible is the only version translated from the Textus Receptus, the received text? All the others were translated from the Alexandrian text, the one that was translated by non-believers. The same people that helped build the Roman Catholic Bible used the Alexandrian text. I'm going to read you an excerpt from Dr. James Jones' book on the doctrine of the Word of God. I'll read something to you real quick. He says, the text for the NSAB and subsequent modern versions, New Testament, the Nestle and Allen text, which has been revised 26 times, this text comes from the Alexandrian line and actually was invented by men who neither believed in the divine inspiration nor divine preservation of Scriptures. Some of these men were Clement, Origen, Eusebius, Jeremy, Tischendorf, Alfred, and of course, Westcott and Hort. These men believe that a person can be saved by various means. For example, Clement believes salvation could be obtained through various means, including baptism, faith and works, faith alone, etc. Origen denied the Bible's historicity, eternal punishment, the Holy Spirit's eternality, salvation by grace, etc. He scoffed at a literal resurrection, was most likely was the first to teach purgatory, and taught that the stars were actually beings and were made subject to sin. He denied the deity of Christ. In all probability, he had more to do with departing from the majority text than any other person. Jeremy was largely influenced by Origen. His Latin Vulgate reads very similar to the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, and spawned the Douay Rheims version that became the official Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. These men, translators of the other text, did not believe what they were translating. That's why things are changed. That's why this is important. That's why the King James Bible is important. Why am I saying all this? Because our Bible is not outdated. It's not wrong. Just because it's old English doesn't mean it's not the right one to read. It's not time to change it. There's a reason we still use it. It is still right. It's still the right version. And it's what I'm going to use. That's not up for argument. It's not up for debate. That's the Bible I'm going to use. Does that mean anyone who uses another version is going to die and go to hell? Of course not. It doesn't even mean that they are wrong. They may just not know what they're doing. It doesn't mean that. Satan is still trying his best to shut the Bible out. He's trying his best to squeeze his way in Westcott and Hort. You can go through all the history of Westcott and Hort. They translated the Bible and messed up the scriptures, got themselves in all these Bible colleges, messed up the scriptures. Satan is doing everything he can to wiggle his way in and mess some things up. You realize the King James Version is the only Bible that you hear about being persecuted. They don't pick on the NIV or the NSAB, pick on the King James. Why is that? Because it's the right one. King James Version is the only one that doesn't have a copyright. Why is that? Because it's not out to get money. It's still right. And maybe the Bible my grandpa used, that doesn't mean it's wrong today. Just because they used it 400 years ago doesn't mean it's wrong today. It's still right. It was right then. It's right now. It's what I'm going to use. Lord willing, it's what I'm always going to use. The Bible is still God's Word. Sin is still sin. The Bible is still God's Word. It's still right to use it. Jesus is still God. John 10:29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. A lot of people like to say Jesus was a good prophet, but he wasn't actually God. He was. The Bible says he is. You know how I know that? He said he was. People try to make it confusing. It's really simple. Just believe what he said. The Scripture tells us the truth. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are three, and those three are one. Scripture tells us that. There isn't a moon god and a sun god and a cow god and a Walmart god. There's one God in Jesus, and he is God. He is the Lord. And there's one of them. One God. Three in one. Triune God. Preach this morning on the different names of God. He has all those different names. All referring to one Jesus. All referring to one God. Jesus is still God. I don't care what they say or what they don't say. He's still God. It's what the Bible still says. Sin is still sin. The Bible is still God's Word. King James Bible is still God's Word. Jesus is still God. And Jesus is still the only way to heaven. John 14:1, where I was at to begin with. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh from the Father but by me. And I could preach Sunday night before. People have tried for years to find other ways to heaven. They try to just be good enough. That doesn't work. They try to work their way there. That doesn't work. They try to win it. You can't win it. We can never be good enough to deserve to go to heaven. We're all wicked sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell if it weren't for God's grace. There's still only one way to heaven, salvation by grace through faith. There's only one way. It's not complicated. It's simple. There's one way to heaven. One way. God made it easy. He didn't make it complicated. We can either trust him and ask him to save us, or we don't. Either you choose it or you don't choose it. It's very simple. We make it complicated. We try to put a lot of works into it. A lot of people try to put works into it and say, you got to be good enough. You got to do these. Got to give you a list of things you got to get done, like a Boy Scout merit badge or something. It doesn't work that way. There's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Either you accept him or you don't. And that's as simple as that. There's no sense in complicating everything. Listen to what God's already told us. If we do that, we'd be much better off. Start trying to find a way around what God has already plainly spoken. If God said it's the truth, it's about time we get back and believe that it's the truth. Get back to the basics. Our entire nation nowadays is too busy complicating things. Everybody's worried about somebody else getting offended, or we have smoothed things over so much that we're all starting to look the same. And Southern Baptists, Presbyterians, non-denominational, even some independent Baptists are all starting to look exactly the same. You know, just between a non-denominational and Southern Baptist, non-denominational has a fancy website. That's the only difference. They're all the same, basically. We're all smoothing the edges over. We have cut so many corners trying to please everyone. We don't have any corners left. We all look the same. We're becoming the same. In 1891, you can look at the basketball rule book in 1891. You know how many pages it had? Two. The official basketball rule book nowadays, 114 pages. Some say it's because we've learned so much more and things have changed. That's because somebody got their head hurt. Somebody got hit in the head and they had to make a rule about it so you couldn't hit somebody in the head and get them hurt. Because somebody got offended over here so they make a rule about it so you couldn't offend somebody doing this or doing that. It's the same way with our churches nowadays. Some churches are saying, well, maybe we have been wrong this whole time. Maybe we should start allowing sin. Maybe we should start allowing sodomites in. Southern Baptist Church, a little while back, announced they're going to start allowing sodomites to marry in the church, to join the church. You know why they're doing that? You know what they're doing? They're trimming the corners up so people don't get cut on. Trimming the corners to make it smoother for everybody to get along, make it easier to get along. Keep on trimming the corners and end up in the circle. They're all going to look the same. There's a reason the Bible says what it says. There's a reason God tells us what he tells us. Right is still right and wrong is still wrong. God hasn't changed a bit. Why are we changing it? I'm not saying you ought to be pharisaical. I'm not saying you should put other people down. We ought to love others. We ought to love sinners. We are not to condone or justify sins. We're not condone or justify things the Bible clearly says are wrong. People ought not get permission from the church to go out and do sin. You ought not tell them it's okay as long as they come back and care. You ought not condone it. You can love them. You ought not condone it. Lord will judge you for that. Lord's going to take care of that. When you make up our mind, get rid of these gray areas. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. There's no gray in the scriptures. There's black and there's red letters. No gray. There's a reason for that. It's right. What is right is right. What's wrong is wrong. It's as simple as that. It's about time we get back to the basics, church. Believe what the Bible says. It doesn't matter your opinions. Everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got at least, usually people got about two or three opinions. Like armpits, everybody got two, and most of them stink. Try not to say that. I've said it anyway. Doesn't matter what somebody says. Doesn't matter what somebody comes up with or believes. They've come find this new idea. The Bible's still right. The Bible is still right. What God said is still right. It's going to stand and stand for eternity. Some will fall away, but there's going to be a remnant left. The Bible is still right. I'm going to do my best to be part of that remnant. I'm going to believe what the Bible says. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, simple with all, Lord, I pray that these stumbling words, pray, encourage us tonight to take a stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.